Award-winning journalists. New York Times bestsellers. No topic out of bounds. No opinions left unsaid. An institution for sports talk and information. This is The Sports Reporters. Here's Mike Lupica, Mitch Albom, and Bob Ryan.
I'm Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe and ESPN.
I'm Mitch Albom of Detroit Free Press.
I am Mike Lupica, MLB.com and the New York Daily News, and welcome to a very busy and kind of wonderful Monday for the Sports Reporters podcast. There is plenty of baseball to get to. We'll get to a little college football at the end of this podcast. But we start last night with the main event, Tom Brady returning to Foxborough to face his old team with the defending Super Bowl champs. And I'm not sure that this is the game that we expected, even in the rain, but that's the beauty of sports, how unscripted it is, because at the end of the day, the kid who has replaced Brady at quarterback did everything except win the game, and I thought had a better game than Tom Brady did last night.
Rarely does a game this hyped up meet your expectations, let alone exceed them. I have to say that I so enjoyed every minute of that game.
Yep.
From the biblical rain that was falling on it that seemed to cast it in that kind of a light, to the doink of a kick that literally would have changed everything and missed by a foot. I agree with you, Mike. I thought that this was the coming out party for Mac Jones. Yep. As much as it was for Tom Brady. And while Tom Brady got the win, Mac Jones proved himself not only to be a potentially worthy successor to Brady, but the best of, at least for the moment, the best of all the quarterbacks who have been drafted in that amazing draft class, even though he was last. He is further along than everybody, including Trevor Lawrence and Trey Lance and all the rest of them. And it was a gutsy performance. I think it was Chris Collinsworth that said this was a draw. And it was. There was a winner on the scoreboard, but given where they were starting from, that was a draw of a game, both sides putting in an amazing show.
Collinsworth was very close to filing adoption papers for Jones.
Yeah.
No question. And, you know,
yeah,
really,
his kid is out. Max in.
Yeah, so I'm, you know, he was very, very impressed. I it's funny. I'm sitting there, you know, as the home team of this threesome here, and I thought it was a very competitive, interesting game. I didn't think it was an epic clash. I thought it was worthy. It was worthy of the hype. That's all I will say. It was worthy of the hype. It wasn't the greatest game ever played, but it was especially it was 7-6 for a long time. But it was it lived up to the hype
Half, Bob, of that back and forth, and you started to wonder. First, you wondered, are you going to leave Brady too much time? Then you wondered if you're going to leave Mac Jones too much time. I mean, that fourth quarter was the crescendo of the night. You're right; it wasn't much offense in the first half, but it really got good down the stretch.
Bob, I agree with Mitch. I completely agree with Mitch. I thought, you know, in this age when we get NBA type scores sometimes in the NFL. A 19-17 game was tremendous last night because of, you know, the conditions kept the score down, but the quarterbacking elevated the play. And Mitch, Bob and I were talking about this before, and we completely disagree on this. I wouldn't have kicked the field goal there. I would have tried to make that first down at 4th-and-3 because even if Nick Folk doesn't doink it off the side and it goes over, Tom Brady still has 1 minute and 2 timeouts left, and all he needs is a field goal. And I felt that Belichick made a mistake there. I touched off an interesting debate on Twitter last night. I believe that you go for it there because even if you get the field goal, I still think you're going to lose the game.
You proved prescient on that, but I mean, they lost the game by a doink.
But
you understand the philosophy, even though my gut is kind of like that. I think fourth down has become much different than fourth down used to be. So many offenses are going for it on fourth down now. But I think the conventional thinking, certainly in football, is when you have the chance to take the lead in the fourth quarter, you have to take the lead. And if you don't make it on 4th-and-3, the game's over. And so, you know, if you kick it and you succeed, you at least play with a lead. Yes, you worry about maybe leaving too much time, but if you don't make it on fourth and three, you've just ended your own
game. Not just too much time, Mitch. Too much time for that guy. It's that guy. And no, I everything you said is right. Okay, I understand about taking the lead, and it would have been like the greatest kick of Nick Folk's career in the rain. But I'm just saying that even if you go ahead there, I believe you're going to lose the game. You're in complete control of the narrative, even in bad conditions, if you get 3 yards there. And Mitch, you're right. Fourth down is different now. Okay. Fourth down used to be, oh my God, they're going for it on fourth down. It's not like that in the pros anymore. And the doink didn't cost them the game to me as much as not getting a first down on those, third down and then not going for it on fourth down.
Well, I think that not getting it on the third down thing leading to the circumstance, definitely, Mike, you're right about that. And I understand everything you're saying. It's still not a guarantee. You make it sound as if it was mortal lock. There's no doubt, no remote possibility that Brady wouldn't get the job done. I'm sitting here thinking, if that were the case, he got the ball back. Hey, maybe it'll be a tipped interception. You know, you talk about the vagaries of sport. It doesn't have to always end with the prince. You know, getting the, right. You know, getting the job done. I mean, that's all. I mean, I understand what you're saying. But I'm focusing more on the fact that the decision to go for a 56-yard field goal in the rain wasn't a dumb one based on the fact that it only was unsuccessful due to hitting an upright less than a foot away from...
And I know, Bob, I know he's made a lot of field goals in a row. We're not talking about Justin Tucker here, okay? I understand. I've watched Nick Folk's whole career. It would have been the greatest kick of his entire career.
Well, you know, but okay, so if it had been, and we were talking about the apocalyptic nature of this game and all the hype, has anybody seen any preliminary numbers, by the way? I haven't seen anything yet. You know, and all the talk about this could become the greatest.
I don't have to listen to Adele anymore, do I? It's that's so right, Mitch. Mitch, you know, that's all. Yeah. That's that over would now, have
been,
right, Mitch.
That could have been part of capping off the week's hype. That anyway, had that kick been good, and it, you can't get much closer. Okay. Anyway,
yeah, but I mean, there were missed field goals in this game. There were. It was a bit of a Russian novel with all the things that were going on. But I mean, the Patriots defense, which nobody's talking about because we want to talk about the quarterbacks, but the Patriots defense was remarkable. Great. And look, Tom Brady gets all the interviews, gets all the time, gets all the screen time. He's got the better looking face, all of that. But Bill Belichick held his own in this game. And if this was a showdown between the two of them, given what he was working with, he more than held his own. He was constantly switching up those defenses. Nobody can understand that. You know, you heard the announcers talk about it, but it's not something that the average fan can really watch and see that you're setting up a defense to look like one thing, and then you make it look like something else. And then the next series you come out, there's a whole different set of defenses. I mean, he must have been up all night the week before coming up with, 37 different defenses to throw at Brady. Brady looked confused a few times, not out of sorts, but like, okay, I don't have any options here. Why? I got nobody to throw it to here. It clearly worked. I mean, they did the best defense on the Tampa Bay Bucs than any team that has played them so far this year and most of last year. And considering where the Patriots are coming from, considering they're a 1-3 team now, they acquitted themselves quite well. And not just Mac Jones, but their defense.
Mitch and Bob, by the way, Mitch, you're right about the defense. Defense was great. It did have him out of sorts, okay? But weren't you amazed that they could do nothing to stop Mac Jones from completing 19 quick passes in a row? Did they change anything? Because I didn't see him. Todd Bowles is a great defensive coordinator. Mac Jones was doing what he wanted for a huge chunk of the second half.
Yeah, you're right. And had they won that game, how much would we be focusing on? How do you win a game with no rushing, attack whatsoever? Nothing. Zero.
Yeah, we have to say on the passing game, as far as Tampa Bay's defense, they're missing so many guys. You and I are the next people up to start playing cornerback for them. When Richard Sherman is your first choice, I mean, literally, the guy wasn't in football a week before, and he's out there playing the whole game. So, and Mike and Bob, you most certainly should have recognized that look. He didn't look like Tom Brady, but he looked like Tom Brady's pass offense those plays, we've seen them a million times. You know, the play action, the tight end crossing, and then there's a guy over the middle for 7 or 8 yards. Mm-hmm. Very few of his passes, Mike, in that 19-pass streak were amazing throws down the sideline.
No.
He found guys over the middle. He found they were open. It was part of a well-designed offense, Josh McDaniels' offense, that looked very much at times like Tom Brady could just step in and go on muscle memory and throw those passes too.
Mitch, their running game was those short passes. That's what their running game
was. Right.
That's right.
What did they have at the end in a running score? Does anybody know? In rushing
one point
yards?
Was minus one.
Did they have minus one? It is minus one. I'm looking at it now. Minus one. How do you win a game with the world champion to the final kick and you got a minus one rushing yard?
By the way, that was nearly a game ender from touchdown Tom to Antonio Brown. Didn't you think he'd caught it?
I thought the only issue was whether, my first reaction was, did he get the feet down? Because I thought he caught it. Because
that was a great throw.
Hey guys,
Brady's fault. You know, we're burying the lead because the takeaway from the game is young Belichick's faces.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, that's my
He knows what he's doing, the kid. Huh?
The kid, what faces he makes. Like, that's got to be meme somewhere. That's got to be, oh my God.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Oh, my God.
I don't get the hair. What's the hair thing, Bob?
It's a tribute to Rex, to Rob Ryan, I think.
All right. Like, but anyway.
How about the Jacoby Myers pass? Calling that play at that time, gutsy play.
Did Mac Jones, Mitch, I don't even know, but he probably didn't. I don't think Mac Jones had a pass himself that long, did he? Maybe he did.
The old high school quarterback thing. And, you know, this is a two-time, you know, they had Edelman to do that all those years, and now they got Myers to do it.
Anyway, it was great. It was great. It was great. Mitch, you're right. It was great theater. It was great theater. It wasn't a perfect game, but it was perfect theater. If it were a Broadway musical, we would have walked out tapping our toes to at least one of the songs.
Yep. So good for them. All right, lots more games to talk about here. First, a word from our good friends at Geico. Hey, do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing because you already have so much to do around your home. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. All right, there was a lot of other NFL action, and a few quarterbacks went down in the process as well, and the young guys are going to get their chances. Jimmy Garoppolo is now out for some time with San Francisco.
Maybe the next 10 years.
And who knows? Trey Lance. So, Trey Lance struggling when he stepped in, and they lost to Seattle. I want to talk briefly about Green Bay Pittsburgh. There was a game to me that, you know, two storied franchises, but heading in the opposite directions. And I hate to say this because we're always wrong when we do, but is Pittsburgh finished? Can we finally say, okay, the window has closed on Ben Roethlisberger's time, and we need to start considering some changes there.
Mitch, we had two old quarterbacks in that game, okay? One looked really old, and the other one just looked like the old Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly.
And by the way, Mitch and Bob, does he look happy to have his buddy Randall Cobb back to go with Devontae Adams? They're going to be something to watch going forward. Mitch, I know we shouldn't write him off, but doesn't the beginning of this season look exactly like the end of last season with the Steelers?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, this is a hard one to do. We have such respect for what Tomlin has accomplished, what they have accomplished, you know, with three coaches in 52 years, if you just dropped in and out of space without all this background and watched this team play, you'd say they're not very good, and they aren't right now. So, you know, that's
how did Randall Cobb, like, where did he was in with Houston? Is that why we just forgot about him last year? I mean,
I think he was with the
Cowboys 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And then he was with Houston last year, and he only played in 10 games. I don't know if he's hurt or not. And he only started two of them. And now he's with Green Bay, and he's, I don't know, it's like he never left. And Aaron Rodgers, week by week, just seems to erase the melodrama of the summer, and he just looks like
Aaron
Rodgers.
Did they lose their first, Mitch? I can't even remember. Did they lose their first game to New Orleans? It's a head scratch. Bob, did they lose? I can't.
And he declared. He said it's all over for us, right? Isn't that what he said?
No, actually, it's one out of 17. Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Listen, here's the game of the day, by my standards, besides the Pats game at night. Arizona, Los Angeles.
Oh boy.
I watched every minute of this game.
Oh boy.
And Kyler Murray has moved to a whole nother level. Folks, if you have not watched Kyler Murray in a while, if you're an East Coast person and you don't often stick around for the late games or whatever, this was a statement game by that quarterback and that team. They dismantled, discombobulated, and almost basically blew out the LA Rams, who were everybody's darling up till this weekend. 37-20 was the final score. Kyler Murray, the upside on him is topless. I mean, not only did he complete 24 or 32 passes, he completed accurate touch passes, passes in between defenders, laser sharp, and when you try to catch him, right now in the game, he is the most, outside of maybe Lamar Jackson, who was in another world, he is the most elusive quarterback. If you took Aaron Rodgers and gave Aaron Rodgers the wheels of Carl Lewis, that's what Kyler Murray looks like now. He knows how to scramble away. He doesn't just run for the hell of it, which I think he did more of in his first year. He's like, okay, give me the ball. I'm just supposed to run. Now he just eludes people running and then can turn into another gear and can literally run past everybody to the sideline and pick up 8 or 9 yards. I was so impressed with the performance that he put on there. And I know the Cardinals have been waiting a long time to get the Rams off their back. And boy, did they do it in a big, big way yesterday.
Bob, I totally
to evoke a phrase that the late, great George Frazier used to use. He's a vest pocket Lamar Jackson. That's what he is. Mm-hmm. Except Mitch is right. He's a far better thrower of the football, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
They scored on 7 out of 8 possessions at one point. And Mitch, you alluded to it. There were many people who thought the Rams were the team in the conference, the team. And they absolutely overwhelmed them. And I can't disagree. I can't agree more with you on the assessment of Murray. He is appointment TV now, as much as anybody in the league.
Bobby and Mitch, Mitch, that game was over. I mean, it wasn't over, but it was really over at halftime. I mean, they had made their statement by halftime, and then they really didn't let them back into the game.
No, it was 24-13 at halftime, and they added 10 points in the third quarter to run away with it. Remember, this is against the LA Rams and Aaron Donald and all the rest of them. They got a really good defense, although they're hurting now too with injuries, and they just ripped them apart. Stafford was not sharp. I've seen games like this before from Matthew Stafford in Detroit, where suddenly he's overthrowing receivers and he's not in sync. And him and Cooper Kupp, whatever magic they had for the first 3 weeks, was totally short circuited yesterday. But usually what happens in those games is we found out that he hit his hand on a guy's helmet and jammed his thumb and didn't tell anybody about it, and you end up finding out there's some injury down the pike. Now I haven't heard there's anything like that here. He just was off. And, you know, there was some untimely fumble, and, you know, they made a lot of mistakes. But Arizona just took that game from them. They wanted it more. Their defense was really sharp, and that offense is – I mean, Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins need to be spoken about more. You know, we talk about some other quarterbacks and their receivers, but that – what he puts – what he offers in that game on that roster, and that's with A.J. Green as well. I mean, you know, they got a damn good lineup there. And, man, was I impressed with them.
Well, listen, before we get to a brief conversation that I know you guys are waiting for about the football capital of the world, which is East Rutherford, New Jersey, off of what the Giants and Jets did yesterday, I'll tell you something, guys. As good as the Cardinals looked, okay, as good as the Packers looked, as good as the Bills looked, Nobody looks better to me right now than the Dallas Cowboys. I think the Dallas Cowboys are playing great. And, you know, the Panthers aren't one of the league's powerhouses, but they're a very good team. And Darnold didn't play very well. I think he's still the rushing touchdown leader of the sport. The guys, I think attention is obviously it's the Cowboys. We're always going to pay attention, but attention must be paid to the way they're playing football right now.
I can't believe you're saying this, Mike, because I was about to interrupt very early and say, I had a question for you guys. How seriously should we take the Dallas Cowboys?
No,
they're on my mind. They're definitely on my mind. Yes. Those are people who... you know, the Cowboy haters and are going to have a tough season.
Look, they lost by 2 points to the world champions in the season opener.
And that might have been their best game, Mitch.
Yeah, and they didn't play badly. And then they beat the Chargers, the Eagles, and the Panthers. You know, no patsies in that group. The reason for the excitement should be Dak Prescott. I mean, remember, he was a question mark coming in. He's coming off a major injury. Nobody had seen him play in some time. He looks better. He doesn't look as good as he was before he was injured. He looks better. He's more accurate. His decision-making is better. He's certainly mobile. And, you know, you look at their box score, and it's the same guys. You know, it's Ezekiel Elliott. It's Amari Cooper. It's Dak Prescott. And it always seems that Dallas has a trio of people. You know, one well-known receiver, one well-known quarterback, one well-known running back. But they're getting it done, and you know they've got the Giants next. Then they play at the Patriots. That ought to be an interesting game. The Vikings, the Broncos, the Falcons. You know, these are all winnable games for them until they play against the Chiefs right. You know, week before Thanksgiving in Kansas City. So they're you know no longer is the NFC East going to be won by somebody with a sub 500 record. I think the Cowboys have turned the corner.
Speaking of the Chiefs,
before we go, speaking of, you know, Kansas City, that's a good steak town, right? So before we get to the Chiefs, we are happily sponsored now by Omaha Steaks. Go ahead, Bobby.
Well, we're in the autumn here in America, and fall means football, and football means grilling, at least in our family. Now, that's why for us, Omaha Steaks are part of the season. Game time? Well, that's grill time.
Omaha Steaks has our fall grilling covered at an amazing deal. Go to omahasteaks.com and enter the code REPORTERS into the search bar and order the deluxe grill out assortment. Over 30 entrees you can share with your family, including my favorites, the bacon-wrapped filet mignons, gourmet jumbo franks, and boneless chicken breasts.
Plus, when you use the code REPORTERS, you'll save over 50% on your order, and you'll get 12 free burgers. It's basically a steak between buns. Make delicious meals with your family. Give them an experience they'll truly cherish with Omaha Steaks. One of my favorite memories, not only as a kid, but even as an adult, is when... you got that football game about to come up, and you got the crisp air going outside, and then you get your Omaha Steaks. You say, okay, who's having steaks? Who's having Franks? Who's having the chicken breast? Who's having the flamin'? And you put a little aside for you over on that far side of the grill just so that you say, that's my little corner. I'm going to make my stuff over there. Omaha Steaks offers you all of that. You can entertain your friends and eat really well yourself.
I grilled up some Omaha Steaks burgers and some even over the objections of Mrs. Lupica, who just thinks I like hot dogs a little too much, some dogs from
Mike,
Omaha Steaks.
Mike, consider this as passing the torch, because I am new to Omaha Steaks after being aware of their existence. Oh, and what a wasted life I have led until that box arrived and we are feasting on it. And I, you know, as a dedicated carnivore, this is nirvana. So that's, but I wish I hadn't wasted those other, you know, 4 or 5 decades.
For Mitch and Bob and I, we are very conscious of whom we associate our brand with. We were so thrilled when we found out that Omaha Steaks wanted to be with us. Visit omahasteaks.com, keyword reporters. Save 50% off when you order the deluxe grill out assortment, plus get 12 free Omaha Steaks burgers and keep making memories with the ones you love. That's omahasteaks.com, keyword reporters.
Okay, speaking of the Chiefs, should if you were a Chief booster, would you be focusing more on the fact that your darling quarterback threw for 4 more touchdowns and your elusive wide receiver caught 11 passes for 186 yards and 3 touchdowns, or the fact that your team has given up 461 more yards and that the other guys had 3 touchdowns called back due to penalties and in the long run? I mean, this, they are getting to be the most lopsided team in the league.
Well, I think darling quarterback sounds a little snarky. I don't think Patrick Mahomes should be snarked at by you, Ryan. I still think they have issues on the offensive line. Again, we've talked about this, you know, Mitch, we talked about this already. It's shocking. I was shocked to find out how bad they were in the red zone last year, and they're giving up gobs of yards this year. And I'll tell you what, when they went to another Super Bowl last year, we're thinking, you know, they might do this every year for 3 or 4 years. I'm not so sure that they're right now in the class of the Buffalo Bills, who I believe they play next weekend.
Yeah, that's going to be a hell of a game. I think it's Sunday night. Buffalo coming off a 40-0 victory, albeit
they've had some other
Houston
beatdowns too, Mitch. I mean, I think it's like their third beatdown since that stinker against the Steelers.
Yeah, it's almost impossible to imagine that they lost to the Steelers. You can look at the fortunes of those two teams now. But you're right, Bob, to bring up the defense of Kansas City. You're not winning with the defenses currently operating. Now, defenses do tighten up over the course of a year, and even 4 games, which is where we are in the season now, is not a fair or accurate reflection of a team when you just look at the numbers. But if you watch the games themselves, they're not dominating people. I mean, you know, they win and they score a lot of points, but you know, they're 2-2 on the year. And, you know, in their 2 wins, they beat the Browns by a field goal, I think, or thereabouts. And they beat the Eagles, you know, because the Eagles, every time they threw a touchdown, the refs took it away from them. they're not championship ready. Let me put it that way. They're not championship ready. It doesn't mean they can't round into form. Andy Reid has done it before. But they're not where they need to be right now.
A little
now.
Footnote on that game, you know, there was one of the handful of games in NFL history there were no punts.
Is that right?
There were no punts in the game.
Oh, okay. And, all right, guys. since they lost to the Steelers 23-16 on the opening Sunday, okay, they have scored, what's 78 times plus 40, Bob? You're
118.
118. They scored 118 points in their 3 victories this season. 35-0. Guys, they've got a 35-0 and a 40-0 in the same first month of the season.
They were against Miami and Houston, but yeah.
Still.
Yeah, no. Well, we'll find out. They've got 2 road games against Kansas City and Tennessee next 2 weeks. We're talking, of course, about Buffalo here. We'll find out, but yeah, look, nobody should be surprised by that. I mean, you know, we all picked the Buffalo to be right there at the end of the year. So,
all right, listen, this show is produced by a young man named Tyler Brewer, who we all love, who is a big Raiders fan, okay? Mr. Brewer is going to watch his team play the Chargers tonight in Los Angeles on Monday Night Football. Now, my question to you, sit this out for a second, Tyler. You shut up.
Okay.
My question to you guys is, what kind of belief will you have in the Raiders if they win again tonight?
As a playoff team or as a true contender?
Both. You can't be one without the other.
No, of course you can be one without the other. Making a playoffs is a long way from playing on that Sunday night in February. So, no, I certainly think that it would enhance the credentials as a bona fide, you know, there'd be a bona fide making a playoff team, yeah.
What do you think, Mitch?
Well, beating the Dolphins shouldn't count for a whole lot, and they barely beat the Dolphins. And beating the Steelers, you know, again, I just don't think that much of the Steelers. They are the only team to beat the Ravens this year with the season opener. The Chargers are a big test. I think if you know, and it's on the road. If they can win this game tonight, yeah, I put them in the teams that attention must be paid to. Let's put it that way. Yeah. Derek Carr is, I think Derek Carr is the most undercovered, underrated quarterback in the NFL. There are still people who don't know what his first name is. You know, they think he's some other Carr because Carr is such a common name in sports. But he's been excellent, and he's been excellent for a while. So, you know, maybe it's because the Raiders keep moving around and, you know, there's still people who think they play in Oakland.
They're like the ice capades, Mitch. Eventually they'll come to your town. That's the way I feel about the Raiders.
Yeah. But, yes, I will say that if they beat the Chargers on the road, attention must be paid.
Okay,
if they
Tyler.
Lose to the Chargers, then, you know, you start looking at Steelers
Tyler,
and Dolphins as opponents.
Let me tee you up this way, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say your team gets this game in your honor tonight, okay? Their next three games are against the Bears,
mm-hmm.
the Broncos, the Eagles, and then they play the Giants. So if they're undefeated coming out of this game, they've set themselves up to maybe be rolling coming into November.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I kind of laugh real quick, though, when you guys mentioned it's a road game. It's not going to be a road game. This is going to be a Raider home game. So that's one. Number two is, yes, if they win, you have to take them seriously. 4-0, I mean, you only could play who you could play.
4-0 with a chance to get to 8-0.
Exactly. And I've been a Raider fan a long time. They always give you these little glimpses where you're like, okay, it looks good, it looks good. But this feels a little different to me. The offense looks good. Carr looks like a different kind of quarterback, a lot more calm and mature out there. Waller's a beast. Ruggs is finally catching the ball. And the defense is finally making plays, although there's some dumb ones against Miami, but huge game tonight. If they could beat the Chargers, it'd be huge for the division. And like Mike said, the schedule sets up nicely. So
hey, Mitch,
I'm really nervous.
Well, of course you are. Hey, Mitch, by the way, yeah. In a welcome wagon season for your Lions, okay, they even made Justin Fields look like he's ready yesterday. I've always said that
the Detroit Lions are the Lords of the world for Lourdes for ailing quarterbacks.
Yes.
If you've got trouble, if you're not looking good, remember we were the first team to make Sam Darnold look like a world beater. Okay, and boy, you go Justin Fields from last week, the week before, you know, 9 sacks to Justin. I don't think he got touched, and he torched them. And I look, the Lions defense is terrible. But I will say this. I watched the whole game. That kid can play. You know, the kid can play. He can throw. I mean, the throws he was making were not the throws of a rookie. He can play. But of course, everybody looks great when they play against the Lions. And if you want to see the difference a previous week makes, look at Baltimore's game, which they won handily, and look at the Lions game, which they should have won. I mean, they actually have enough talent that they could have beat the Bears, and they just kept shooting themselves in the foot. They literally, the first three possessions, they got within the 10-yard line of the Bears and didn't come away with any points. They fumbled it twice, and they turned it over on downs. That is the hangover from a game before, when you lose a game that you think you should win, and you lose it on a 66-yard field goal. The team that wins with the 66-yard field goal gets this unintended boost, goes out and wins handily, and the team that loses carries that hangover into the next game and plays like crap. And that's exactly what happened.
All right. Let's just hop around here, guys, okay? Because, you know, there's so much distance between last Thursday and it was the Jaguars, but you know what? Joe Burrow and the Bengals are still 3-1, and Joe Burrow threw for 348 yards last Thursday night, and he looks like exactly what we thought he was going to be coming out of LSU.
No argument there. No, coming off not having a year, and no, absolutely. Remember this guy performed a series in college that has been acclaimed by many who know or believe they know, the greatest season ever, period. for a college quarterback. So, you know, yeah, he's
now that
good.
Was a big game. Hey, Mitch, did you get to see either of the kid quarterbacks from New York? Because all kidding aside, both Zach Wilson and Daniel Jones both played terrific games yesterday.
I saw the overtime because they kicked it over for whatever game I was on, and so I just stayed there and watched it. And yeah, it was nice to see both of them get on the board, and you know, now New York.
We don't have a lot of Sundays like that, Mitch. We have a lot of, as I said, Detroit Sundays in our local football. But Daniel Jones threw for 400 yards yesterday, brought his team back from 11 behind. And Zach Wilson, he kind of looked like the kid they fell in love with at BYU, you know, running around, waving guys down, throwing touchdown passes. It was actually, for one day, it was fun to be a New York football fan.
Yeah. The flip side of that is New Orleans, you know, just not going to be New Orleans this year.
That's a bad loss, Mitch. That's a bad loss at home.
That is a bad loss for them. And, you know, they had the ball 10 minutes longer in time of possession than the Giants did, and yet somehow managed to. They both had one turnover. It's not like they were throwing interceptions or fumbles or whatever. They just couldn't pull away from a bad team. And, you know, again, no knock on the Giants, but the Giants weren't supposed to be in New Orleans' league when the season started. You look at the kind of talent that New Orleans has, but, you know, they're missing Drew Brees a lot more than maybe they thought they were.
Oh, no, you're going to be right about Jameis, Mitch. You are. You're just going to be right about Jameis.
He is who he is.
He's a placeholder. You know what he is, Mitch? He's a placeholder for whomever is going to be the next quarterback of the New Orleans Saints, and they're probably lighting candles hoping that it's going to be Aaron Rodgers.
That would be an interesting one. All right, are we ready to turn to baseball?
I think we got it all. I you know, the Ravens win again. Teddy Bridgewater gets a concussion. Yes, Mitch, baseball, because what a great pageant that was, Bob. Yeah. All the game, it's like the start of the Boston Marathon. Everybody started at the same time. Red Sox are down 5-1. They come back. The Yankees are life and death. Nothing with the Rays trying to stay out of a game today Toronto, Bob, who nobody wants to play. They are the ones who got screwed the most.
I am disappointed that they're done.
I am too.
I am disappointed. That lineup, George Springer, I still say I like to see the WL since he joined the lineup. He hits two home runs. He leads off the game with a home run. The idea, Vladdy does it again. Oh my God. It's hard for me to believe.
Oscar, who's having a great year. Semien has had a great year.
Semien.
Bichette has had a great year. And Mitch, it's like, you know what they're like? They're like the way the Warriors used to be when the Warriors are winning championships. They're that much fun to watch. And when the Red Sox finally came back on the Nationals, they had no seat in the game of musical chairs.
Yeah. Well, somebody was going to have that chair pulled out, we know.
Well, they started with a really good chance of a three-way tie, had it involved Seattle. It would have been a travel nightmare for everybody. And also a really legitimate chance, you know, a possible chance of a four-way tie, which would have been settled in a smoother manner. But at one point in the afternoon, you know, you weren't sure. The Yankees, Mike, they get one hit entering the ninth inning. They're being one hit.
Yankees, a 1-0 win over Tampa.
And they win, Mitch, on a slow roller to second base. The judge hits, and the guy beats the play at the plate. The Yankees enter tomorrow night's game as mysterious as they have been all year. Bob, it's 9 days ago that they swept the Red Sox. 9 days ago, okay? And they got even though they won the last game, they got a beatdown from a team that won 100 games. And Mitch, by the way, a team that spends $130 million less than the Yankees do on baseball players.
Well, everybody got what they wanted, at least on a national scale, in the Yankees and the Red Sox playing as well as Toronto and Seattle played. And I'm sure their fans are upset. But from on a national scale, if you don't have a dog in the hunt, you always want to see New York and Boston play. The fact that it's going to be one game and one of them is going home after tomorrow night is again, we've talked about it many times this year. It's beautiful and it's tragic given the talent that we're looking at here. But that's the year. And I now, can you guys probably know this because I haven't even looked. Who's pitching?
I think Eovaldi, it's Nate Eovaldi versus Gerrit Cole.
Right.
And Bob, it is the spirit of October 2nd, 1978, tomorrow night. And we were both there, okay? We were both there
when Bucky
Dent hit the home run and Yastrzemski. I just wrote a column about it for MLB.com. And it is, you know, Mitch, without going too deep into the weeds, this is really the first time there has been a Boston-New York game like this in 43 years at Fenway, okay? We had Game 7 in 2003 at Yankee Stadium. We had Game 7, 2004 at Yankee Stadium. We had Game 4 of the Division Series in 2018 at Yankee Stadium. This game will be played at Fenway Park. And, Bob, it is extremely unusual across the history of these two teams for them to play a winner go home game against each other.
Oh yeah, well, like 1949 they did it when the Red Sox went into the
49,
weekend
78 03 04.
Yeah, 49 they had a one game lead going into the weekend and they lost Saturday and Sunday and the Yankees won by one. I got to back up to the Red Sox game yesterday because of the extraordinary circumstance. It was a fitting capstone to a wildly uneven season. But they were being beaten 5-1 and a rookie, Yoan Adon, a young Dominican, making his major league debut, was shutting them down on one run.
Bob,
and five
and they
minutes.
Pulled Chris Sale. Cora had to pull Chris Sale with the bases loaded.
Had to pull Chris Sale after he just threw a four-pitch walk to Ryan Zimmerman in the third inning. And the look on Cora's face going out was, boy, that was fury. Like, oh, I can't believe this. You know, this guy, this unvaccinated, parentheses, $30 million a year guy is doing this to us today when we need him most.
Doing it against the Orioles earlier in the week.
Yeah, so that was that. They're down 5-1 and they come back against the woeful, you know, the Nats are the Nats for a reason. One of them is the bullpen stinks and they took advantage of it.
And Mitch, I got a parting shot on Rafi Devers, but before we leave baseball today, we have to talk about the Los Angeles Dodgers and the San Francisco Giants. The Los Angeles Dodgers won 106 games. No team in the history of the sport has ever won that many games and not finished in first place. Okay? You start there. And now the Dodgers have to play a wild card game against, here's some numerology for you, a team that just won 17 games in a row and finished 16 games behind them in the standings. And if the Dodgers win it, though, guess what we get? We get Dodgers-Giants in the first round of the Division Series.
Well, if there's any justice in the world and a God in the heavens, that will be the case. Because, Tyler, I feel for you. What more could the Giants have done? I mean, the Dodgers have done.
God.
What more could they have done? They just kept winning and winning, and every time they look up, and San Francisco, and they tease them by losing, Saturday? They lost to the Padres 3-2, so there's an opening. There's an opening. You're saying we got a chance. And then, you know, what do they come back and win big yesterday only
they
to
were,
see
had, yeah,
the Giants win
early.
11-4?
Yeah, it was bad early. And Mitch, but I'm telling you, you're right. If you forget about baseball fan. If you're a sports fan, okay, not only we get a one-game Red Sox-Yankees thing on Tuesday night, how about if we get a whole series of Giants-Dodgers out of the past? Oh, my God, it'd be great.
Got to have it. I mean, no offense to Cardinals fans. That's a great, amazing regular season run. But as Mike said, you still finish 16 games behind the Dodgers. The Dodgers
107 and 106. You can't wrap your mind around it. And I think we talked about this the other day. Maybe we did. I forget. But what the Giants did this year, to me, is the greatest single surprise in baseball since the Mariners won 116 games in 2001. No one saw this coming.
And most people on the outside can't, and including myself, can't name their rotation, by the way, unlike the Dodgers.
Kevin Gausman has been great. I know. And you know, he's been awesome.
Unlike the Dodgers, who have to enter this without Muncy So we'll see.
Yeah, that's a bad injury for them. He's
Also, real quick, Julio Urias, 20-game winner.
Yes, yeah. Right. Give him, yes, sneakiest 20-game winner.
What's the deal with Kershaw? Is Kershaw done?
Oh, Kershaw.
I he won't play.
I mean, this would have been a much bigger story 2 years ago, I guess. But
Mitch, I don't think he can pitch. He's on the IL, so even though it's the postseason, it's 10 days, right?
I don't know how it works in the postseason.
Yeah, it's 10 days. It is.
Yeah, and they put it's his forearm, which is the thing he's been battling all year long. But if you're the Dodgers, though, you do have three tomato cans named Scherzer, Bueller, and Urias.
They don't need him. Seriously, they don't need him. I mean, they didn't.
They've got Price, who's a hybrid, who can do anything they need him.
Need him. It's not a big blow. Muncy, if in the long run,
Muncy's a big blow.
Would be
much more
important with the pitching staff they've got.
This is going to be a great week of one-game baseball.
Oh boy!
And then getting the series started. But look, baseball, Mike, you've said it multiple times. They're in a groove right now in terms of all they could ask for from regular season and postseason.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, how could the baseball gods have delivered better than what they gave us this September? With so many teams still being alive in it. Right down to the final, literally the final day. I mean, count them. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, just the teams we've talked about. There were 6 teams that at least on Saturday still could have been in the playoffs in different positions. I mean, that's remarkable. I don't know.
Mitch, I think it was a great
paid off.
I think it was a great season, period. Coming off the short season of 2020, from Ohtani on down, it was a tremendous regular season. And you're right. It just sets the table for a great first week of the playoffs.
Apropos of nothing we've talked about, guys, but did either of you hear the Dave Sims call, a game-winning call on Saturday night?
Yeah, I watched the last hour of
the game.
Did you hear his call? Bobby, he's my old friend. He was a sports writer at the Daily News. I've known him forever. He's just one of the best people in the business.
Absolutely.
And his excitement as the Mariners came back and kept their season alive on Saturday night. Was he rooting for the home team? No one cares. You're right, Bobby. It was great.
It was great. I recommend to people go YouTube Dave Sims, Seattle Mariners, Mitch Haniger, and you'll thank us. Okay.
All right. Before we get out of here, a little college football, but first a word from our good friends at Geico.
Cheer for old Cincinnati.
Start singing the Cincinnati fight song.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Cincinnati, I watched every minute of that game, and Cincinnati earned that game. That wasn't a lucky win.
They were dominant.
They are better.
And
Desmond Ridder is a hell of a player. And if you never heard of him before, go watch him. Go watch the tape of that game. The guy can throw. He can run. He's got a great command of the game. And that's a serious team. They basically ended Notre Dame's season. And in terms of any, postseason. And now we will see, will their conference hurt them, going forward, or will that win by itself be enough? I mean, they don't play anybody else the rest of the way that is going to matter. You know, they've got games against Temple and UCF and Navy and Tulane and Tulsa and USF and SMU. And it's not, teams in front of them are going to have to lose for them to get into a playoff. But, when they had it in front of them, they made the statement. And now what has to happen for them to...
I don't think as much as it normally would, okay?
Right.
Clemson is down, okay? The undercard of the SEC is not great this year. Nothing's happening out west. I think this is for Cincinnati, and I want them to make it, okay? I want this to feel more like the NCAA basketball tournament until they expand it, okay? This is if not now, then when situation.
If number three is Iowa, I'd have to say that this is the year that
it can happen.
The path is clear. Win out, and I think they really got a really, really legit shot.
Yeah, well, the Big Ten is going to be their enemy because the Big Ten has the most teams that are sort of hovering around there. You're right about the SEC, Mike, this year, and Alabama, Georgia, you can almost write their tickets right now. But then you've got Iowa and Penn State at 3 and 4 currently, Ohio State at 7, Michigan at 9. By the time all these teams play one another, they're going to determine whether, assuming Cincinnati wins out, they're going to determine whether there's two teams from the Big Ten that have to get in, or, as has been in years past, you know, Ohio State by itself, and then you can take somebody else. Mitch, but they're at number five now.
Mitch, you're so right. You know who Cincinnati, all those Big Ten teams that you just mentioned, you know what Cincinnati's doing? They're rooting for all of them, okay?
Yeah. they beat each other up.
Yeah, right.
All right. Well, that's been an interesting run of games. There are just some weekends in sports that are better than others, and this was one of them. Time for our parting shots, and they're brought to you by Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com and make sure to use the keyword, reporters, and you can save over 50% when you order the deluxe grill out assortment, plus get 12 free Omaha Steaks burgers. And keep making memories with the ones you love. That's omahasteaks.com. Keyword reporters, and you go to the search box at the top of the web page and type in reporters there, and you'll get the special deal. Time for those parting shots. Bob Ryan, lead us off.
Now, parting shots.
The Cleveland American League baseball team defeated the Rangers 6-0 before 28,396 fans at Progressive Field yesterday. It was the last time they will be known as the Indians. Say hello to the Guardians. The Indians' nickname was preposterous for the last 106 years anyway, since in 1915, a new owner renamed them in honor of Louis Sockalexis, a Maine-born Penobscot Indian who had played parts of three seasons for them in the 1890s. I mean, no offense to Louis Sockalexis, but come on. Let the record show that the nickname hasn't served them all that well. They have won just two World Series, the last in 1948, which gives them the longest championship drought in any of our major sports. The Guardians? Well, I guess you'd have to live in Cleveland to appreciate that one. But hey, at least no one's going to be offended.
That was a David Poppy Ortiz moment for the kid, Rafael Devers, in Washington against the Nationals, when Devers did more than anybody to punch the Red Sox ticket to this wild card game against the Yankees. There will never be another Ortiz in Boston any more than there will ever be another Ted Williams, unless you think that some other Red Sox star will come along to hit .688 in a World Series the way Poppy did in 2013. But Devers has more natural talent as a hitter than anybody since Ortiz, and that includes Mookie Betts. And when it was all on the line for his team on Sunday, when they were staring at a play-in game against the Blue Jays, the kid went 4-for-5 and finally hit that 2-run homer in the ninth. There were a lot of stars in play on a wonderful final day of the season, including Shohei Ohtani. None bigger than the kid at third base for the Boston Red Sox.
In case you didn't notice, the calendar has turned to October. And if you're a true sports fan, this is what we call the harvest of harvests. The only time of the year where you have all four major American sports going at the same time. Football can't get much more exciting than it's already been in the opening month of the season. College football is in full swing. And baseball is entering the fall playoffs. Before the month is out, sports writers will be juggling the start of the NBA season and the raising of the banner in Tampa Bay to mark the beginning of the NHL season. It may seem like sensory overload to have Tom Brady, LeBron James, Max Scherzer, and Steven Stamkos all operating at the same time, but that's the cornucopia of October. Finish raking your leaves, sit back, and enjoy it. That's going to wrap up things for today. We do the Sports Reporters Podcast Mondays and Thursdays, so we'll be back with a whole lot of baseball to talk about, no doubt. Boy, both games will be done by then and getting set for the the rest of the playoffs. If you like what you heard, leave us a comment, leave us a rating. We always appreciate those. And you can find this podcast on Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, any place that you get popular podcasts. Until we see you in a few days, enjoy the baseball, folks. On behalf of Bob Ryan and Mike Lupica, I'm Mitch Albom saying have a great week.